God is a God of ability. He's all powerful and he holds the whole world in his hand. He's able to make all grace abound. Paul told the Corinthians, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And while he was yet in prison, he said, for the grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's good to see everyone here and that we've put first things first. And thank you for the good singing and the good prayer. And if you were unable to attend the Wednesday night Bible study, you missed a very good lesson. From the Book of Beginnings, our good friend and Brother Brinkley mentioned a verse during that study that will serve as a springboard or a step stool. If you'd like to turn to Psalm 90, Psalm 90 and verse 1 and 2. Lord, you have been a dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you art God. I want to talk to us this morning just for a few minutes about God. Sometimes we don't talk about him enough. God is the creator and he's the father of all things. He's the ruler of the world. The Hebrews gave him the name Jehovah. Do you have any idea how many times the Word of God is found in this book? It's astonishing to know that the words of God is found 783,137 times in this book. The words in this book contain the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, and the doom of sinners. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise. Believe it to be safe. And practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's way, the pilgrim's staff, and the pilot's compass. Here, paradise is restored, heaven open, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand object, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide thy feet. Read it slowly, read it frequently, read it prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It's given to us all in life. It will be opened into judgment, and it will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and it will condemn all who trifle against its sacred contents. More than 31,000 verses in the King James Version of this book. 783,137 words of God. We need to read them. But let there be no doubt that God occupies an important role in this sacred book. Let's take a look at a number of things that the Bible has to say about God. And the purpose of this lesson is for us to have a better understanding and appreciation of who God is. We need to hold him on high. The psalmist declared, "Holy and reverend is his name." Psalm 111, verse 9. But the first thing we need to mention is that there's one true God. And a matter of fact, in the book of Mark, Mark 12 and verse 29, Mark said, "The Lord our God is one Lord." Listing the seven ones in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said, "There is one God above all, through you all, and in you all." But again, Paul stated, "But unto us," that's Christians, "unto us, there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things." 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. Isaiah recorded a long time ago, "There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is no one else besides me." As Isaiah 45, verses 21 and 22. No idols, nothing else, nothing at all. Just one God. But whenever you pick up this sacred book and start to read about God, it tells us some things that God is not. So, by understanding some things that God is not, that will put us in a better position of understanding some things that God is. First of all, God is not a man. Numbers says that. Numbers 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? That's Numbers 23 and verse 19. Also, when you think about some things that God is not, he's not a respecter of persons. Some folks are. While teaching Cornelius, the apostle Peter said that he perceives that God is no respecter of persons. Had been a good place to say that, since Cornelius was a Gentile in whom the Jews had nothing to do with. But in writing the Romans, Paul said in Romans 2 and verse 11, with God there is no respect of persons. Along with some things that God is not, he's not the God of the dead. Matthew said in Matthew 22 and verse 32, he is a God of the living, not the dead. You know, sometimes there's a lot of confusion in the religious world, even sometimes among the Lord's people, confusion. And there's always those who want to lay the blame on God. I assure you, when we really think about what this book teaches about God, there should not be any confusion. You know what Paul said to the Corinthians? God is not the God of confusion, but the God of peace. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. There should be no confusion. Sometimes there are those who think they can sow one thing and not reap the results. Paul addressed that in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 when he said, God is not mocked. You think you can mock God? Don't try it. So said Paul to the Galatians. Whatsoever man soweth, that he shall also reap. And you can take that to the bank. Sometimes we just need to learn to give glory and strength to the Lord. Glory and honor to his name. That's Psalm 29, verse 1 and 2. But now, having seen some things that God is not, puts us in a better position of seeing what God is. First, he is eternal. When your grandkids ask you, where'd God come from? Your kids ever ask you that? What do you tell them? A good answer would be nowhere. God's always been. God is eternal. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. God is eternal. And Psalm 90, verse 1 and 2, before the mountains were formed, God was. He's eternal. But in addition to that, the Bible teaches God is holy, and he's a jealous God. When he gave the law, he said that in the book of Exodus, chapter 20 and verse 5, he said that no other gods before me. If we put anything before God, we are disobeying him. God is a jealous God, he told Joshua. Joshua 24 and verse 19. God demands that our worship be as he directs. When he talked to the woman at the well, they were discussing worship. You remember the woman at the well. He knew all about her life. And she said, "Well, we used to worship at this mountain." They were probably standing there looking up at that mountain. Jesus said this classic statement. We probably all remember what he said. He said, "God is spirit, and they that worship him must." Must, that's the strongest word that we can think of, must. Don't have any stronger word than that. Must what? Must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's John chapter 4 and verse 24. But as we think about God and who he is, John wrote in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 that God is light and in him is no darkness, none at all. Paul told the Corinthians that God is the God of all comfort. When you need a comfort, he's available because there is a God. John said, John chapter 4, John was known as the writer of love, you know. But in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not have no God, for God is love." 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." We could read them three verses again, but just very simply put, John said he is simply love. Are you aware of the fact that God knows all things? There's nothing that he don't know. The Bible teaches that he is an all-knowing God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10, listen carefully. "For I am God, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." You ever read such a statement as that? Can we declare a thing from the beginning to the end? I don't think none of us can, but God can. On the day of Pentecost, the preacher Peter referred to the foreknowledge of God. Acts 2 and verse 23. That shows he knows everything. In the book of Acts chapter 15 and verse 18, it is said, "Known unto God all his works from the beginning, Beginning of what? Of the world. And Paul could have said it best in Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. It's a great statement in this book. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. That's Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. And Isaiah said in Isaiah 55 and verse 89 that my ways are higher than man's ways, and the heavens are higher than the earth. Don't ever underestimate the power of God. Paul said it well when he wrote to Romans in chapter 1 and verse 20. He said, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead." That's Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. God's power can be seen in the beginning book. When you read the book of Genesis, the first two chapters, 10 times it said, God said and was. God spoke things into existence. For example, he said, "Let there be light." And guess what? There was light. What power is invested in our God? As we read through Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, there's a list of just some single words that show God's power. The first one that we need to mention was God said, God saw, God made, God called, God set, God created, God blessed, God formed, God planted. He planted a garden. He was the first gardener. God took. He took a rib. God commanded. God caused. And we can go on and on and on about those words. You cannot read those words in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 and not recognize the fact that there's power invested in our God. Have you ever got to thinking that I don't see my way out of this? How am I ever going to do this? I want you to know that the Lord will make a way for you. On top of that, have you ever wondered where God is? Our first parents tried to hide from him. Remember the book of Genesis? God knew where they were. The psalmist asked in Psalm 139, as we're speaking about God's presence, he's everywhere, everywhere at the same time. Do you know anybody that can do that? Be everywhere at the same time? God can and is. He's omnipresent. And that's what that word means. Everywhere. But in Psalm 139, beginning with verse 7, the psalmist asks, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost part of the sea, even there shall thy hands lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall hold me, if surely I say darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hide not from thee, but the night shineth as the day." By the way, we can't hide from God. "The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. The darkness of night cannot hide us from God. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." God's presence. A great psalm. But one more truth about God, and this lesson is ours. God demands and deserves our obedience. And that is how the plan of salvation is given on the pages of inspiration. As we read the conversions in Acts chapter 2 through Acts chapter 19, as we sum up those things, men heard the gospel. They were told to believe, repent of their sins, confess their faith, and be baptized. Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized for the remission of sins. When they did that, the Lord added them to the oldest church known to man, the Church of Christ. The Lord's church. Acts 2:47. And as a member of his church, you're asked to serve him faithfully. If you haven't done that, you can do that by repenting and confessing with God of all the things that you would ever do. That would be the greatest step, the greatest worthwhile, not only for here, but for eternity. Prepare thyself to meet thy God. Amos 4:12. If you have any need of that, we invite you now as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.